Have you ever been there? Have you ever done some, built something and you just wanted to know what the breaking point was? When we lived in northern Missouri, there were five of us that got together. We were one of the guys in our church had come into contact with some missionaries that were getting ready to go to the Sudan. And this missionary that was getting ready to go to the Sudan was looking at things that they could do to help some of the people to raise some crops that would grow well in that climate and do good and provide nourishment for the people in that climate. But one of the things that they came to realize was even if they came up with the perfect crop, the people there didn't necessarily have the implements that were necessary to grow those crops, because years of war and displacement and being refugees and being moved from here to there, and it just, they didn't have much of what they needed. And so five of us got together and we were just going to help them out. And so we started trying to make hoes, simple hoes, and just using what was available. And so old discs became parts of these hoes. And after we built several of them, we'd cut them and then we'd weld them together. And then after a few of them were built, Dr. Destruction started in on them. He was trying to see what it would take for him to destroy this hoe. And we call him Dr. Destruction because he had his PhD in something totally different. But he became Dr. Destruction. And he probably wasn't much bigger than... have you ever lost a name? Hi, Teresa. It's Teresa. He probably wasn't much bigger than Teresa, and maybe not even that tall. But his job was to see how much pressure this hoe would take and where the weak point was so that we could try again and make it stronger. And after several renditions, he had a hard time breaking that hoe. And we put together a bunch of them and took them to where they could get put in a shipping container so that they could take them and use them. But we worked and we worked to make these things as strong as possible. And sometimes God does that with our faith. He says, let's find the breaking point. Let's find that point where they no longer are able to deal with it. And Scripture says that God will be there right beside us through it all. But sometimes God tests our faith. But you see, here's what I want you to know. I can't tell you what's going on when you face pain and suffering. You see, we can ask the question, why? But the thing that God says to Job is, Job, even if I told you why, it wouldn't make any difference. Job, even if I explained to you why you are facing pain and suffering, it wouldn't make it easier. It wouldn't make it more tolerable. In fact, you probably would not understand. You see, if I told my child he couldn't jump off of the television tower and parachute to the ground, he doesn't understand the physics of what it takes for a parachute to catch the wind and have enough time for the resistance to hold the parachute up in the air and slow down his fall. It wouldn't make any difference to him. It's simply a no, you can't do it. Dad, you want to take away all my fun. And sometimes we ask the question, why? And God looks at us and says, if I told you, you would just look at me and say, you don't want me to have any fun. Why? Glenn Pemberton writes this. He was going through some personal suffering. And he says this in his book, After Lament. He says, this year a man was sleeping in his bed when a sinkhole opened under his room, and he falls 100 feet to his death. This summer, 19 firefighters from the Granite Mountain Hotshots lost their lives when the wind suddenly changed directions, trapping them with no escape route. I understand our desire to understand why these things happen, but frankly, I'm suspicious of anyone who claims to have an answer. Even the Bible is not all that clear. Instead of answers, we're offered God's help. You see, we want to ask the question why, but the why isn't the question that we need the answer to. The question that we need to ask, the better question is who? Who? This is the answer that God gives Job. God says, who? When we face pain and suffering, yes, we might need to ask the question why, because we might need to deal with sin. And we might need to deal with forgiveness. And maybe we need to get to the bottom of the illness so that we can deal with some of the root causes. Yes, we need to ask the question why. But the better question to ask isn't why, but who. And these are the answers that Scripture gives us. These are the answers that God gives to Job. It is God the Father. Who is with us? God the Father. I love this picture of God, maybe because I had a good father, and I know some of you didn't have a good father, and this is a hard one to picture. When a father doesn't do what a father is supposed to do, it's difficult, but God uses the picture of a father and a good father. A father who loves his children. And here's what I know. A good father loves a hurting child. A good father, a good parent, wishes they could take the pain and the suffering away from their child and they could endure it themselves. But that isn't always possible. You see, a good father wants to protect and wants to care for a child, but that isn't always the case. You see, a good father can't always make everything better, but they do everything they can. They do everything they can to minimize the pain and to help the suffering of a child. Sometimes they have to inflict small amounts of pain to help the child to endure. I remember the one and only time I had to take my child in for shots. Brenna was nice enough to me. She didn't make me do that, except for once. But I took Logan in for shots. No, not Logan, Landon. Logan was much bigger, but I'm glad it wasn't Logan. He might have gotten hurt. Landon. I had to take Landon in for shots once. I don't know why I had to do it, but I did. I had to take Landon in to get shots. And they were going to give him several shots, and they said, you know what, we're going to get two or three people in here, and we're going to do it all at once, but here's what we need you to do. We need you to hold him so he can't move. And in that moment, I knew this was what was best for my son. And I knew it was going to hurt him, but I knew that if I could hold him and they could come in and give him the several shots at one time, it would be a lot less painful and a lot less dramatic on him for a long period of time if they shot him all at once than if they had to stick him three different times. And so I held him. I held him. And I said, it's going to be okay. He was small enough, he didn't care. He didn't know what I was saying. He didn't even care that I was holding him until they stuck him. And then he was mad he couldn't flail his legs. But of course I understand, because I would have wanted to do the same thing. And sometimes we just need to know that God is a good father. And even though we're going through some tough times, that he's there beside us and he's not allowing us to go through as much as we could. That we could be going through worse. They're holding us and loving us. And God looks at Job, and I love these questions that Job asked God. Were you there when I created the world, Job? Hey, Job, tell me what the world is resting on. What are its foundations driven into, Job? Hey, Job, were you there when the morning stars cried out for the first time? Did you hear their... Did you hear their infant cry, Job? You see, here's the thing, that God is looking at Job, and God continues to ask Job these questions, and he gets down to, oh, hey, were you there when, are you the one who caused the the mountain goat to go into labor, Job? Did you do that? Were you there when the child was born, Job, to take care of it? Do you provide food for the wild animals, Job? You see, God is looking at Job and he says, I am the creator. Job, I am the creator. I'm the one who set the world in order. I'm the one who sets the boundaries, and I'm the one who made the rules. I'm the one, Job, who's powerful. All powerful. I like to make things, but you know what? I have to take the things that God has made and shape them. I can't make my own stuff. God was powerful enough that Genesis says that he spoke the world into existence. I can't imagine that. I've tried. The best I can do is to speak when somebody hears me and they bring me what I ask for. I've never been able to say iced tea and have a glass of iced tea appear in my hand. It always takes a second or two for one of my kids to bring it to me. Or the waitress at the restaurant. God was looking at Job and says, Job, I'm powerful enough. I created everything. In fact, not only did God create everything, but God is informed enough to know when anything goes wrong. And he doesn't just know when something goes wrong. He knows exactly what it is. He doesn't just know kind of what's happening. He knows exactly what's wrong. You think the doctors are discovering your illness, and they're going to tell you what's wrong after they discover that. Guess what? God already knew. Matthew says, or Jesus says in Matthew, that not even a sparrow falls from the sky without God knowing it. How many sparrows fell while I said that statement? I don't know, but God does. God knows how many hairs are on your head. And you know what? I lost a few in the shower this morning, and God still knows how many are on my head. And not just my head, but your head. And not just your head, but the person sitting next to you. And not just the person sitting next to you, but everybody in the room. And for some of us, God doesn't have to work nearly as hard. For others of us, God has to work a little harder because you still have more of your hair than some of the rest of us. And I still have more than some of you. And so God has to work at all this. And God knows exactly what's wrong. Think about that. The God of the universe, who created everything, knows exactly what's going on. And not only does he know exactly what's going on, but he, according to Scripture, he's holding everything together. He didn't just create it and walk away. He's the glue that holds it all together. If he decided to quit holding it together today, everything would just disappear. It would just cease to be. He holds the smallest molecules together that hold all the big stuff together. But if he quit holding them together, they're just gone. And if our God can do that, he's there. He's there to care for us through everything. And Scripture says that he does what's best for us. Not just us, but what's best for the kingdom and what's best for everybody. God knows what is best. And that's what he's telling Job. He's saying, Job, just think about who I am and rely on me and my strength. Job, keep doing what you know to do. Worship me. Hold on to the fact that I am your God. Then we get to another question, part of the question, who? This God who is, he's the God that suffers. He is the God that suffers. You know what? Whatever we go through, Jesus knows. God knows what our suffering is. Jesus Christ came down out of heaven and he took on an earthly body. He dwelt as one of us for 30 some years. He walked this earth and he suffered. He suffered pain. He suffered anguish. Theologians believe that Jesus probably lost his earthly father at some point in his life. We know he never had a broken bone or a dislocated joint, but Jesus felt pain. He suffered like we do. He probably cut himself a few times. He probably had somebody tear at his heart. He suffered pain. We know that he suffered emotionally. I'm sure when his cousin John was beheaded, he had to deal with that emotionally. Later, when Scripture, last week we looked at Lazarus. When Lazarus died, Jesus wept. When Jesus is going into Jerusalem, he knows what's best for the city of Jerusalem and for the people there, and he weeps as he's going in for the last time, or not the last time, but in that last week, when he approaches Jerusalem on his triumphant entry. He weeps over the city of Jerusalem because he knows what's going to happen to the city in 70 AD, and he knows the fact that the people are going to reject him, and he knows that the eternal suffering that they'll go through. And Jesus suffered. But more than that, Jesus suffered as he was beaten, his flesh ripped, and probably his internal organs laid bare. Bones exposed. And he suffered. And then he hung on a cross. You know, from where we get our word excruciating. And things that we say are excruciating probably don't even measure up to the measure of what that word means, out of the cross. Because the suffering was unenviable that Jesus went through on the cross. And Jesus suffered, and Scripture says, I like what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says this. He says, He made him who knew no sin, speaking, God made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus didn't have to suffer, but Jesus suffered for us. And if we have a God who has suffered, He understands the pain that we're going through, and He can relate. You see, it doesn't matter what we're going through, Jesus suffered. And the best person to help us in a time of suffering is somebody who's suffering. And then we ask the question, who? And the answer that we get to who? God the Father, God the Creator, God the Sufferer, and God the Lover. God loves you. When you're going through pain, know that God loves you, and keep focus on the fact that God loves you. You know, one of the most famous passages of Scripture is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you so much. We go back to God, the sufferer. His love is shown in His suffering. God loves you so much that He died for you. But also Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8, he says, God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Oh, excuse me, I started where I wanted to end. I misread my note as I glanced over there. I wanted to start at verse 6. It says, For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone will dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, we might die for somebody we know. We might die for somebody we love. We might give up our life for somebody who has some meaning to us. But Paul says that when we were enemies with God, you know, I might die for somebody I love, but I want to see my enemies die. You know, that's human instinct. That's the way we are. Those are the things that come natural to us. But Paul says that when we were still sinners, God loved us so much that when we were His enemies, He died for us. And when we go through pain and suffering, it's only great to remember that we have this God who loves us this much, who is our Father, who is the Creator, that's on our side. Once more from Glenn Pemberton, he says, "Faith does not require us to ignore the scars from our losses, or even the resurrected Christ still had his, or for even the resurrected Christ still had his wounds. Nor does faith promise erasure so that we can live and act as if nothing happened. Something happened. Death in all its forms, abuse, pain, grief, rape, aggression, divorce. Nonetheless, in the rhythm of resurrection, God's work in our lives becomes part of our faith story and integral to our new language of thanksgiving." You see, the question why won't suffice. I might know why I got sick, but I really need to know that there's somebody who can do something about it. When I suffer for extended periods of time, I want to know that God is there to see me through. Yes, I might need to understand why, because I might need to confess my sin and I might need to repent. But even then, I need to know who. I need to know who. I need to know that God is there with me, the God who loves me and the God who suffered for me, the God who created the universe is there by my side to see me through. I don't know what you're going through today, but I know this. Why won't help? In the long run, why won't help? It may help for the moment. It may help you to deal with some of the pain. But what you really need is the God who promises the peace that passes understanding. The God who promises that He will be there as a counselor beside you to comfort and to cheer and to guide. Do you know Him this morning? Do you have a relationship with that God? That God who loves you so much that He wants what's best for you? That God who loves you so much that He suffered and died on a cross? If not, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation, and I would love to visit with you about what that relationship looks like this morning. If you need to visit with somebody, you can come down forward while we're singing, or you can catch me afterwards and we can visit. This morning, if you just need somebody to pray for you, you're going through the questions and you want to know why this morning, I don't know why, but I know who. And I'd love to pray with you before the throne of our Father. So if you need somebody to pray with you,